This is Press TV's News Analysis, the show that gives you the extra thought. I'm Bardia Honardar. Well, the British Finance Minister, George Osborne, has unveiled the UK's annual budget for 2012 to the House of Commons. It comes as no surprise when he said the budget intends to maintain the tough austerity push. This comes amid a slow economic recovery and official data showing that the country's budget deficit hit a record high in February. Quick to show their disapproval, protesters rallied outside the parliament against the tough austerity measures and the soaring unemployment rate. Osborne has said that the UK would earn its way out of its problems, but what about the middle and lower class earners? Will the 2012 budget, dubbed as the millionaire's budget, help them earn a way out as well?
British Finance Minister George Osborne has delivered his annual budget to the House of Commons. Addressing lawmakers, Osborne promised to stick to his government's tough austerity plan. He said there is no room to soften unprecedented spending cuts, as heavily indebted Britain risks losing its AAA credit rating. Data released just before the Chancellor's speech showed that Britain's public sector borrowing set a new record in February. A reminder that the government has no money to provide the fragile economy with a significant boost. Osborne said the economy will grow very modest this year, but will avoid recession. Still, he warned that a Eurozone crisis and a rise in oil prices continue to pose risks. Despite the tough austerity measures, the Chancellor announced cuts to the top rate of income tax for the highest earners. Osborne has faced fierce pressure from the business leaders to slash the top rate. He said the government will instead clamp down on legal tax avoidance to fund the tax cuts. Outside the parliament, hundreds rallied in the latest show of public anger against government's failure to get the economy back on track.
British people!
British people!
Out of work!
Out of work!
George bloody Osborne!
George bloody Osborne!
Austerity is not working!
Austerity is not working!
The super rich in this country have seen a tax cut given to by a government of the rich, by their friends George Osborne, Nick Clegg, David Cameron, who come from the same background, go to the same school. It is a tiny elite. And I think there's something obscene about tax cuts for the rich at a time when the vast majority of people in Britain are seeing their living standards being pushed down.
We don't want tax cuts for the rich. We want more jobs and investment in jobs. They're raising the point about 100 billion going into Trident. Why can't 100 billion go into education or going into grassroots investment for the public?
The protest follows rallies and strike actions by students, trade unions, teachers and public sector workers over the past year. Britain's recovery from the 2007 financial crisis has been very weak. The unemployment rate is at its highest in 17 years. Price rises have outstripped wages, and tax increases and austerity measures are eating into household budgets. Many Britons have experienced the worst squeeze on their living standards in at least a generation. It is not clear what the future holds for the low and middle income families, as they are facing rising petrol prices, higher energy bills and tax credits, as well as cuts to child benefits.
Well, allow me to introduce our panel of guests who will be contributing to the program. I'm now joined by National Co-Chair of Black Activists Rising Against Cuts, Ms. Zita Halburn from London. Welcome to the program. Journalist and broadcaster, Mr. Max Kaiser from Paris. Good to see you again, Mr. Kaiser. And Professor of Binary Economics, Mr. Rodney Shakespeare, also joining us from London. Allow me to start with Ms. Halburn. The 2012 budget already has its own alias. It's called the Millionaire's Budget. That doesn't sound too promising for low and middle class earners, does it?
No, it's definitely not promising for lower middle class earners, and it's not promising for the poor. Effectively, it's a budget for the rich, by the rich, and does nothing for working class people, nothing to lift the poorest people out of poverty or actually to help the economy recover.
Well, Mr. Kaiser, critics argue that the new budget will bring more misery for the working class people. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Osborne says that there's no money and that austerity must be imposed. But let's keep in mind that the banks and the corporations are flush with cash. The corporations are sitting on huge cash balances. They're hitting record profits. banks are sitting on huge cash bonuses. They're awarding record bonuses and salaries to their top executives. And so what we have here is a situation where the Bank of England is printing cash to satisfy the interests of these very large banks and corporations. But this cash does not make it into the general economy. It doesn't do anything in terms of creating jobs. And it does have the effect of forcing the price of food and energy higher. So if you're not part of the elite banking infrastructure, you have the problem of no job and the price of your food and energy going higher. So you're being squeezed at both ends because the Bank of England, George Osborne, David Cameron, Mervyn King, work together to create what I call this financial segregation or financial apartheid, where it's very easy for the one portion of the economy, but it's a bloody hell for everybody else.
Well, let's bring in Mr. Shakespeare in on the discussion. Mr. Shakespeare, next month the government will cut working family tax credit. In the public sector, Brits will have to pay more for their pension. One activist that we spoke to here on Press TV put it plain and simple that families are being targeted. What kind of impact will these measures have for the lower income generating families?
Well, it will increase the stress. It will increase the tension. This budget is old paradigm, sclerotic thinking given by a smug, complacent chancellor who is serving the interests of a corrupt banking system. If you want to help the working people and the middle classes, you have to control the banks, who are out of control. You have to stop them creating new money and stop them shoving the money into anything except the real economy. You have to use a national bank interest-free creation, that money going into the real economy and it's spreading. It's as Max Keiser said, any money creation at the moment is only going for the interests of the corrupt banks. It has nothing to do with the provision of the jobs of ordinary people. This government is in fact just serving the interests of the banks. It has no analysis and no understanding that debts have built up so they're out of control, that this is the same right the way throughout Europe and the Western system, and that the money is in places which has nothing to do with the real economy and it's spreading. So I'm afraid, come April, particularly after in the new financial year, the public sector jobs are going to be in terrible trouble.
Well, let's go back to Ms. Halpern in London. The 50% tax rate on earnings over £150,000 could be cut. Labour are already branding that as a millionaire's tax cut as well. Another case of the rich being rewarded with more riches and the poor left a window shop.
Well, absolutely. That's what this budget is about. It's about helping their rich friends and not looking at what is happening to working class people and the poorest on the ground. There are people in the UK that are living off food parcels, handouts from the voluntary sector because they don't have enough to eat. You know, members in my union, the Public and Commercial Services Union, are struggling to make ends meet. They're struggling to look at whether they pay the bill or whether they put groceries in the house and feed their children. This is dire poverty we're talking about. In the public sector, they want us to pay more into our pensions, get less out, work for longer, so actually lots of public sector workers will die before they even reach retirement age because of the stress and how long they've been forced to work. Our pay's been frozen for the last 2 years, and that's going to be the case for forthcoming years, which in real terms is a pay cut. And what they should be doing is collecting the £120 billion that's lost each year through tax evasion, tax avoidance and uncollected taxes to try and meet the deficit.
Mr. Shakespeare, more spoils for the rich and nothing left for the poor. Is this how the British deficit should be met?
No, it's not. The people who are trained and educated are there. The land is there, the farms there, the resources are there, the technology is there, and the knowledge is there. All the factors are there to produce a sufficient income for ordinary people. But the way the system works, essentially about a sucking up all the time of wealth to this tiny, it's actually 10%, and then in particular to the 1%. You've got to overthrow the system, revolt against it, and chuck it out. And in any case, the collapse which is coming and is getting worse is going to, in fact, produce calls for the overthrow of the system. And the overthrow must include the use of national bank interest-free loans going out, paid back, and being cancelled. And if you don't do that, ordinary people won't have jobs, they won't have income, and you will not even be able to take account of what is a huge technological shift as jobs are being smashed out in the new industries. Osborne understands nothing. He's smug and complacent. His assumption is, oh, stay as we are, and it will all come back in some wonderful way into balance. It won't.
Well, let's cross over to Paris to Mr. Kaiser once again. Mr. Kaiser, the Office for a Budget Responsibility, the OBR's overall assessment of the outlook and risk for the British economy is, quote, broadly unchanged. Does this hint that a double-dip recession is inevitable for Britain?
You know, when I hear people like the budgetary officer, George Osborne, talking about austerity measures, it reminds me of the old TV commercials I used to see repeated from the 1950s when you had doctors talking about the health benefits of smoking cigarettes. It's institutional blindness. These civil servants, George Osborne and the rest, they are simply only looking at a few pieces of data that support their ideology, a market fundamentalist ideology, an ideology no less pernicious or ugly than any extremist ideology in the world today, including the so-called terrorists. I mean, and they are adopting these blinders to impose an economic theory that has been discredited. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked for generations. The whole Thatcher-esque period in Britain has proved to be a huge failure. And yet they're clinging to that. They're doubling down on policies that have been proven that don't work. And they're as Rodney Shakespeare said, they're being smug about it. You know, they think it's amusing. But after all, these are the same people that go into Iraq and kill a million Iraqis and find it all terribly posh and amusing. Why should they give a flying hoot if they exterminate a few of their own along the way on their way to the club? They don't care. They're sadists, in my opinion. They're just absolutely intolerable.
Let's go back to London to Ms. Halpern. Ms. Halpern, tuition fees were increased, so the students aren't happy. The unions aren't happy. Pensioners aren't happy. Families who, in comparison, generate lower than average incomes aren't happy. That's a lot of unhappiness. Would you say that the government of David Cameron has failed the British people?
Absolutely, it's failed the British people. There's so many people that are impacted, pensioners, young people, children. There's the highest rate of child poverty across Europe in the UK, and it's increasing. There's a disproportionate impact of all the cuts and all the attacks by the Condemn Coalition on black people, disabled people, women, the young, the old. So there's barely anybody that's not impacted, of course, apart from his rich friends. His millionaire friends and cabinet of millionaires that aren't impacted. And we need to fight back. You know, it's atrocious what's happening to people in the UK. We can't allow this to continue. And that's why there are so many anti-cuts groups like my own, Black Activists Rising Against Cuts, UK Uncut, and a host of others that are joining with the trade unions and fighting back. It's bad enough that, you know, families haven't got enough to eat and are struggling to pay bills. How on earth are they going to pay for £9,000 a year tuition fees? EMA was scrapped, so, you know, for children to go on to further education in a college, they can't even afford to buy books and pay for their lunch and pay for their transport to get to that college, let alone go on to university to do a degree.
Mr. Shakespeare, opposition politicians and trade unions have warned that austerity could prove counterproductive by raising unemployment and thereby the benefits bill as well. Do you think that cutting spending and raising taxes too far and too fast, in fact, will backfire?
it will backfire. But if I may say something to the opposition, and particularly to the UK unions, you've got to come. It's no use just opposing this government, because they have control the thinking in the universities, and they control the thinking. The paradigm controls the thinking in the universities and the politicians, and the bankers control everybody by bribery, blackmail, coercion, and dirty tricks generally. The unions have got to come forward with a new idea, and that means they must do something which was done in America in the 30s, was done in Australia and Canada and New Zealand with great success. You use the national bank as you control the banks, you control them. You use the national bank interest-free supply for big capital projects, microcredit, small farms, small businesses, for spreading ownership in the medium and large corporations, for public capital projects like roads. You don't have tolls on roads. For roads, canals, railways. And you use that same mechanism for getting rid of the national debt. And if you don't do that, the unions don't do that, they have had it. They will be smashed politically by this government, which will be controlling the intellectual high ground. The union got to find a new way forward and push for it.
Let's get to Max Keiser in on the discussion once again. Mr. Keiser, if there's a huge budget deficit and cuts need to be made, then how come it's not being translated to the military issue? The British government is keen on upgrading its Trident missile systems. That's over, I believe, £100 billion. And now that's not going to be done with pocket change and handouts.
Well, just to follow up on a point that was just made in terms of having a bank that is a national bank, serves the interest of the population as a whole. Keep in mind that Britain has just announced that they're going to be selling off their infrastructure, their roads in particular, to governments like the government of Qatar and their sovereign wealth fund. So the situation is becoming quite dire in that the country is selling off its assets, its income-producing assets. They're selling the cow to buy the milk, as it's referred to in economics. So this government is completely acting outside of the interest of their own. It's tyrannical. I mean, it's the very definition of tyranny. So the British people have a problem on their hands in that their sitting government is acting as in the interest of a foreign government. That's a tyrannical situation that if you don't do something about it very quickly, your sovereignty will be washed away. But we've seen this happen in Greece. We've seen it happen in Ireland. And those people don't seem to mind losing their sovereignty. But, you know, you get to the military question and the defense spending. Even in Greece, where the people are being absolutely gutted with unemployment at 50% amongst the youth, they're still buying weapons to fight their Turkish enemy. They're still buying German submarines. They're still, because the Troika that controls the country, they get a fee on this. They get a profit. It's their business. Same thing in the UK, the defense contractors. Even though, like, British Aerospace was caught with a slush fund with Tony Blair, Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia was in Tony Blair's office, and he threatened him. He said, "If you don't call off this investigation by the Serious Fraud Office into the slush fund that's being talked about in the Financial Times, I can't guarantee another 7/7 bus bombing won't happen in London." So here you have Prince Bandar, a Saudi prince, threatening a sitting prime minister with an act of terrorism. That's basically the British prime minister for you. That's what they're doing for their people. Absolutely nothing. It's a disgrace.
Very well. Mr. Shakespeare, tough to follow up those comments, I'm sure. But your thoughts about the military dimension of the British government. What about the war in Afghanistan? Many observers are calling this a saturated war. Why not start allocating the money for other purposes? For example, purposes that would ease the pinch on the masses and the lower classes, such as creating more jobs.
In the West, the military expenditure is absolutely huge. No one attempts to touch it. The USA spends nearly half of the world budget. Going back to Max's point, this budget actually further erodes national sovereignty. It actually puts people into debt, not just for themselves, but for their children and for their grandchildren. And as in Greece, they're going to be debt serfs and debt peons forever. Because, you see, This is ultimately about a financial global elite taking control over the whole world population. So we do have to look at the wider issues, including the wider issues of ongoing war, which is continuing all the time. So yes, you can't look at the British budget unless you consider the military escapades which are going on, and the war, and the control of the global elite as well.
Right. Ms. Halber, in London, if more austerity is on the way and the jobless rate is at its highest, what does this mean for an average young man who is out there looking for a way to make a living?
It means that they're blocked from making a living. At the moment, there are over 1 million young people unemployed. One in two young black people is unemployed. If you can't get into education and you can't get a job, what options are there for you? Actually, I want to say something about the aspect of regional and local pay that was announced in the budget. And whilst there's not much detail at this stage, that will be devastating, and it will actually drive whole regions within the UK into dire poverty. It's a false economy to say we'll cut the pay of public sector workers to go in line with private sector workers in that particular region. If people have got no money to spend, it's going to have a knock-on impact on the private sector, on the retail industries, and that in turn means that there's no growth, there's no generation of income, and the economy doesn't recover.
Max Keiser, one last question, very briefly, if you may. In his comments, the Chancellor, George Osborne, said that the country would earn its way out of its problems. But at what cost?
Well, it's impossible to earn your way out of these problems. I think he was talking about unearned income that comes to speculators and those who are profiteering in the banking sector. He hopes that their fraud will generate enough income to cover the debt service. But, you know, that's, of course, the typical thinking of a gambleaholic. George Osborne is a gambleaholic. He needs to go to Gamblers Anonymous. He's got either a drug problem, a drinking problem, or a gambling problem. He shouldn't be a public servant. He's a sick, sick man that needs help.
And Mr. Shakespeare, very briefly, would you like to add anything to that?
Yes, they are mentally sick. But in particular, they are morally sick, and they have no concern whatsoever for the interests of the bulk of the population. And that goes for the UK, for Europe as a whole, and for the USA.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Allow me to thank my panel of experts. National co-chair of Black Activists Rising Against Cuts, Ms. Zita Halbern from London. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. The ever-enthusiastic journalist and broadcaster, Mr. Max Keiser from Paris, and also professor of binary economics, Mr. Rodney Shakespeare from London. I'd like to thank you all for contributing to the program. And thanks for tuning in. Anyhow, join us again, same time, same place, tomorrow for Press TV's News Analysis, the show where we get to the bottom of things. It's goodbye for now.